Hey everyone, and welcome back to the So Rude podcast. My name is Paige Ruderman, and I hope you are having a fantastic day. On today's episode, we are continuing the conversation that we started in episode 65, which is talking about identifying what type of year you want to have. So if you have not yet listened to that episode, I strongly recommend that you pause, go back to listen to that episode, so that way we're on the same wavelength as we take all of those concepts and beliefs into this episode, and we help to get the most out of what this episode will talk about. Okay, great. You're back. On today's episode, this is another deep dive into concepts that I learned while listening to the On Purpose podcast with Jay Shetty. The episode is the only 7-step goal setting method you need to become who you want to be in 2024. So as a quick recap, in the last week's episode, we talked about identifying what type of year you want to have. And there's four. There's learning, experimenting, performing, and thriving. And we talked about how there's a different set of skills that you need based on the type of year that you're going to have. And we also talked about how when you can shape your goals around the type of year that you want to have, you're going to be a lot more satisfied with the outcomes that you reach. However, we left off that episode saying, okay, great, I know what type of year I want to have, and I know I want to set goals around it, but how do I go about setting a goal? Well, that is where today's episode comes in. And Jay goes on to say, when we think about what we want to do, it's like, okay, I need to do it now. But instead of saying, like, what do I need to do today? It's really beneficial to start a year from now and visualize ourselves there. What do we want to be true about ourselves or about our goals in 365 days from now? What is going to be different about that scenario that I want to then now take these next 12 months to try and reach? It's whatever you are going to be proud to say that you were able to accomplish this year. Jay goes on to say, your inner voice will be more honest about a goal and more true than a vision board ever could. And I'm like, wow, that is so true. I think deep down we all have an innate focus on what we want to have happen, but sometimes we compare what we want to see happen in the next 365 days to what other people say they want to accomplish. But if we go back to last week's episode, people are in different stages. They're in different years, right? They're on different points along the path. So I think if you can focus more on what sounds right to you, what do you want to focus on? You are going to be more satisfied with where you land a year from now. How can we see a goal in a year's time? So Jay introduces the 1-4-3-1 method. This is how you break down a big goal into what you will accomplish in quarters, what you will do for each of those months in the quarter, and what you will do per week in each of those months. So I'll say that again. The 1-4-3-1 method. One goal broken down by four quarters, identified by each month in the quarter, and then clearly identifying what you'll do each week. And if you can break down your really big goals into these achievable chunks, it's going to help you get there. Another important thing is breaking down those big, difficult tasks into processes and simpler steps. Jay goes on in his episode to talk about writing a book. I'm going to tailor that example, and we're going to talk about writing an album because I think that would resonate with a lot of people listening to this podcast. So your goal, let's say for 2024, is I want to write my next album. Oh my God, where do I start? I mean, I know I need songs and those songs need to be produced. And then like, I know I need marketing for them. And then there's like this TikTok thing. And it's like, oh my gosh, before you know it, you're completely overwhelmed with this concept of writing the next album. And you just feel like, I'm just going to throw whatever feels the most stressful to me, I need to suddenly build it into my week. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I need to remember to do these things. And it's like, okay, let's pause for just a moment. How can we break writing my next album into the 1-4-3-1 method for this year? So here's an example of one way to do that. You can say that in the first quarter, I'm going to research and start writing songs and developing concepts for the album. In the second quarter, you might play your songs out to get feedback, edit and review those songs, and finalize the list. The third quarter, you might make the demos and get the songs produced. And in the fourth quarter, you develop and execute the marketing strategy. Okay. If we go back to that first quarter, we said our first quarter is researching and writing songs and developing concepts. How can I break those into a month? So month one, you might research writers in your area or collaborators that you want to work with. You might look into, well, what are favorite songs that I love and who wrote on them? Do they live in my town? Are they accessible? And you're reaching out to these people once you've identified writers you want to collaborate with or instrumentalists that you want to collaborate with, and you schedule those writes. Month two, you might start collecting ideas, inspiration, messages for the songs you want to write. And month three, you might start writing those songs. So in month one, when you're researching writers, maybe week one is I'm going to look at all of my favorite songs and I'm going to start making a list of who are my favorite songs, what genre are they in, who are the writers, how long is the song, what kind of structure is the song, is it like a verse, chorus, bridge kind of song, is it an AABA kind of song, like really pulling together what are the things that you resonate most with. Week two is saying, I'm going to find all of the contact information for everyone that wrote on those songs that I'm interested in collaborating with. Week three is going and listening to the other work of those writers and saying, was this an anomaly of a song? And maybe they didn't contribute all that much. Or, oh no, a lot of their catalog seems to have these things I really love about the song in them. I really want to connect with them. And then week four, you're reaching out and you're scheduling those writes to try to make contact. Month two, you start collecting the ideas, the inspiration, the messages. So maybe the first week is I'm going to go through all of the sticky notes or the notes on my phone or the Word documents in my computer. And I'm going to start collecting where all of these inspiration pieces lie, because let's be honest, we as creatives, we tend to put things everywhere. But then when you need to find them, it can be kind of hard. So go out and use your rake and rake back in all the things you already have written down. Week two might be, okay, I know I have some ideas, but I also love love songs and I don't have enough love concepts. So maybe I'm going to go online. I'm going to start watching love videos, or I'm going to start looking on Pinterest, or I'm going to start looking on quote websites and trying to find those things that I really like. Maybe week three is going to the library or your local secondhand bookshop and picking up a couple of books for inspiration as you're reading through, because sometimes the best place to get inspiration is for other content. You can use what other people have said and adapt it for yourself. And number four is taking all of those ideas and organizing them and saying, okay, here's my love ideas. Here's my breakup ideas. Here's my life ideas. Here's my boys suck idea, whatever. But like, use that month two to start collecting those inspiration pieces. Month three, writing the songs. So if you don't already, make sure those co-writes are locked and loaded, because we know we typically need to schedule out. That's why we made all of those connections in month one, knowing that realistically, I'm going to get on someone's schedule about 2 months later. So now you're going into those writes. Maybe week one, it's, you know, everyone that was your first tier. These are the people I really wanted to work with. On week two, you're reaching out to anyone that you hadn't heard back yet that you've finally been able to lock in. Maybe week three, you left open because you want to go back in and work on one of the songs you wrote on week one. And then week four is just making sure, like, I have all of the songs I wanted to write during this process. So that's how you can take something like a Q1 goal of research and start writing songs and developing concepts and really break it out and say, what can I do? What is an achievable task, a specific outcome I want to have happen every single week of the 3 months of this first quarter? Then you get into your Q2. You want to play these songs out and to get feedback, because your ultimate goal for the Q2 is to finalize your list of songs. So maybe month one, you're going around your hometown, or if you live in Nashville, and you're trying to find these hometown shows so that you can go out and network with people. And you want to get on the books to playing some of these songs out to see crowd participation. So what does that look like per week? Maybe week one, it's identifying, okay, what are all the rounds happening around me? Week two is you're going and you're introducing yourself to who's hosting the show. So you want to know who's hosting it, who's the booker, who's the scheduler, and you want to make contact with them, and you want to be a nice, friendly person, and you want to ask if they have any openings you would love to play in any of the weeks coming forward. Week Three is you're still going out to those shows. So now you didn't just say hi and leave. You said hi and now you're coming back. They see that you're a fan of what they're doing and you're introducing yourself to the other people that are performing. Because guess what? Those could be potential collaborators for the future. Maybe you saw someone who had the best guitar skills that you're like, oh, I know that one of the songs that I just wrote last month is really guitar driven. I want someone who has really good, you know, rhythm and they can sit in the pocket. I want to make sure I meet them. And then, you know, you're doing that over weeks three. And then maybe week four is you've finalized all your rounds. You're like making final connections at all the rounds you said you wanted to play. You are now scheduled for. So month two, you're going to play shows to gauge crowd reaction. That's your goal for the month. So what are you going to do? Maybe the first week of that goal is you're just playing the songs as much as you can so that you're more comfortable with them at the shows. Week two is you're bringing a camera so that you can record the audience interest in it. Or maybe you're bringing a friend who can be scouting the audience. So it's like they aren't necessarily there to watch you perform. They're there to watch the audience to say, when are they getting bored? At what point in the song did they click off or they look down at their phone or they turn to the person next to them and they start chatting? Because that's when you lost them. And if you can identify when you're losing people in your songs, that means you can go back and say, well, maybe we need to like amp up the energy here, or maybe we need a new section, or maybe the melody got repetitive. And so you can use that crowd engagement as kind of like your A-B test, right? And then you take that A-B test into week three. You're saying, okay, I've played it one way. I know what happened. I'm now going to play it a different way this week, maybe making those adjustments or tweaking those things. Did I get a different crowd reaction? And then week four, you're kind of narrowing in and maybe you're sitting there brainstorming with someone that you brought or brainstorming with the videos that you have. And you say, what seemed to be the best songs? Which ones connected the most? Which ones did I enjoy playing? Because you really don't know if you like a song until you start playing it out. And then you realize, oh my God, by the time we hit the second verse, I was already over it. If you won't listen to your own songs, if you're not even enjoying your own music, no one else is going to like it. If you can't be your own fan, I'm not saying like hype yourself up, I can never be wrong, I'm perfect. I'm just saying, if you don't even like what you're doing, how in the world can you expect a random stranger to like what you're doing? So you need to make sure that you're satisfied throughout the whole thing and that people listening to you are satisfied throughout the whole thing. And then month three, connect with your co-writers to edit and revise songs. Maybe at the tail end of writing that song, you guys plan a date for 2 months later. So that way you guys can revisit it in case there's anything you want to change. So then week one, it's, you know, making those connections back with your co-writer saying, this is what I found. I can't wait to chat with you again. And week two, it's meeting with them and revising them, editing them. And then week three, it's maybe turning to some trusty people to get feedback. Say, okay, maybe I'm part of a group or a club, or I have another collaborator in the space that I really respect their opinions, and play your songs for them and say, what do you think? Give me your honest opinion. I don't want smoke blown up my ass, and I don't want you to find things that are a problem just for the sake of a problem. I want your honest opinion. And then the final week of that is you finalize the list. What is your list of songs you're now going to go into Q3. Q3, make demos and get songs produced. That's your goal for the quarter. So right as we've been going through this episode, you're seeing that we have quarter goals, we have month goals, and then we have week tasks. And that's what we're doing. We're identifying how to best utilize every single week. So we know that at the end of 52 weeks, we've checked all these things off the list. So that very first month, you might want to research and contact producers in the genre that you work in and schedule some calls. So maybe week one, it's researching, if I'm a pop artist, who are the big pop producers in my area that are maybe like accessible? Because if you're an indie person, the chances are of you getting like a big pop guy, maybe not going to happen. But there's lower tier individuals who are closer to where you are on the spectrum that you want to work with. So week one, you're researching. The same way you researched co-writers you want to work with, now you're researching producers. Whose work did I like? Did it keep me entertained? Did I like all of the artistic choices that they made? Week two, it's you're reaching out and you're scheduling calls with them. Week three, you're actually hopping on those calls and you're getting a feel for either what are their rates or what's their work style? When are they going to be available? You might find someone you love that's just not available. So you're scheduling those calls, you're speaking with them about what you want, and then week four is going in and you're finalizing everyone you're working with and what songs you want to work on them with, making a list for that. Month two, make a reference playlist for each song. So now that you know what songs you're going to record, you know who's the producer that's going to help you produce that song, now you need to know that when you walk in the door, you are taking advantage of making sure that you're getting this song done to the best of its ability as seamlessly as possible. Look, it's not to say you're not going to go back and forth to edit it, but if you can help the producer have all of the pieces of the puzzle, he or she gets to sit down and put it together. You're going to make reference playlists for each song. So maybe week one, it's you're actually making Spotify playlists for every single song you want to put on the album. And that first week you're saying, well, what kind of vibe do I want? Maybe I want this song to be an upbeat piano driven song. I want this song to be a more mid-tempo guitar driven song. I want this one to have heavy drums because I want to make an EDM track of it or like a dance remix of it down the line. So you're kind of making that idea in week one of how do you see each song getting brought to life? Week two, you're going in and you're going to pick maybe half of the songs and you're saying for these five songs, I want to find drum samples, guitar samples, vocal sound samples. What are all the little sprinkles or, you know, extras that are added to a song that I want my song to have? And you're going to have a piece of paper and you're going to write down, you're going to say, you know, song number one, pop ballad, heavy drums. And then you're going to find songs that have those pieces of them that you can reference. So you're going to say like song reference A, I like the drums in this one. Song reference B, this is the tempo I want it with the kind of like snaps and claps I want. Song four, it's like this is the vibe I want to have, the like soundtrack, cinematic sound, whatever. And you're going to do that for half the songs in week two. Week three, you are going to do it for the other half of your songs. So that way, that very last week, you're going to play through the playlist and you're going to say, can my song fit in there? And I would recommend practicing your songs in that last week. So you have your playlist for what you want the songs to sound like. You have written them. You know they're written to the best of their ability. You want to practice those songs. So that way, when you get into the recording studio or the home studio or your bedroom, wherever it's going to be that you're going to record these songs, you are familiar with them. And then month three, you're going to record your songs. So maybe week one, it's making sure you have really good vocal technique. Maybe you're meeting with a singing teacher or someone to help you go over those songs. Make sure every single movement from the verse to the chorus or from the A to the B section is strong. You know what you're going to do. If you're playing the music, make sure you're working with someone or you're just reviewing it yourself. I know exactly how these transitions are going to go. If you're singing it, you're making sure you're hitting it on key as much as possible and your intervals are locked in. So that's week one, you're practicing. Maybe I would do a test drive in week two and I would drive to wherever I need to go. If I'm meeting with someone, I'm confirming all the dates when I got to be there. Week three and four, you're recording the songs and you're working with them to get those demos made and songs produced. Now, that's me going off of someone that maybe has a lot of availability to make these song productions. This might take a little bit longer in action, but I'm just talking to you as far as like, what do I think you can do every single week of this year? Your songs are written, you've gotten feedback, you've made tweaks, you have your songs with all the recordings needed, with the producer, with reference tracks, they know what they need to do. Now you're letting it sit in their hands while you focus on your Q4, and your Q4 is your development marketing strategy. So month one, it might be picking the release date and start design the branding. So what does that look like? Maybe week one is you're finding a mood board or you're making a mood board for what you want this album to look like or feel like. And then you're going to start pulling together graphics and colors. Week two is you're picking the date. You're saying, okay, I know what I want it to look like. I know that the songs are off getting recorded. What date do I want this to go live? This could just be because it's a personal date to you and you're like, this is an important day of the year. I want to have work. Or it's like, well, what do I think is going to be the least amount of other conflicts? So do you know someone that releases something every March that's a big artist in your lane that you're a fan of? Okay, so then don't pick March. Have some wherewithal to be like, well, what's happening in my environment and how can I use that to my ability? We don't step on each other's toes. Week three, maybe you're reaching out to radio stations or places to promote your songs. So you're reaching out, you're sending those blind emails, you're making the phone calls, you're just connecting with people to ask to come on the show. And then week four is you're confirming where are all the shows going to be that I'm going to be able to come and promote my stuff. Month two, you want to start getting all the graphics ready, right? So you're going to contact your photographers and get those shoots. Month two, week one, you're, again, researching photographers. Whose work do you like? Are there friends of yours that have used photographers that they felt were so easy to work with and their rates were affordable? Great. So maybe week one, it's reaching out to your friends. Who have you worked with? Week two, it's reaching out on your own. What can I find? Whose type of work do I like? Week three, it's making contact with those photographers or videographers and scheduling the shoots. And then week four, maybe it's shooting that content. And then your last month of Q4, you want to record all the content and start touring. So week one, maybe it's I'm going in, I'm getting all my pictures taken. Week two, I'm going in, I'm getting all my videos taken. Week three, I'm discussing with either myself or my team, do I want to tour for this project? And then week four, it's creating the list of how are you going to take everything that you just did for this year and make your plan for the next year. For every single task we just went over today, especially around the marketing stuff, you can break that into a year-long goal. How do I spend a year with a marketing strategy behind my album that I just spent a year recording? So let me pause because I know I've just talked at you for quite a bit and I've thrown a lot of examples and ideas. I want to preface this by saying this is just my thought of if I had 5 minutes to just think through how would writing a goal look like in the 1-4-3-1 method from Jay, that's one way to do it. You might be more familiar with recording an album and you have your own approach or things you would tweak or different orders of steps. I would love to hear your feedback. Have you done something similar to this before? Have you broken it out into a year? And like, how did you know what tasks you wanted to do? Use that type of framework for whatever goal it is that you want to accomplish this year. Do you want to get your first cut? Okay. As a songwriter, that's going to be a much different 1-4-3-1 goal process than someone who's recording an album as an artist. Or maybe you want to have your first paid client as a producer. Okay, you're going to use those same exact 1-4-3-1 method to plan for that. So again, 1-4-3-1, one goal across 4 quarters in 3 months per week. And it's just going to help you then look back on the year and know that every single week you didn't have to do everything, but you had to do something and it got you to where you wanted to go. In addition to Jay talking about this process of 1-4-3-1, he also went on to say, and if you can really set yourself up by looking at it as a goal, process, task, you're going to help yourself not waste time and not fall off the wagon because you've already identified what's the achievable metric you're hoping to accomplish. Another benefit of doing that is so that way your goals don't feel so far away. You know that even something as simple as sending an email to 3 producers, that was something I said I needed to do and I got it done. And anyone can take 1 hour and shoot off 3 emails. I don't even think it takes an hour. It probably can take you 15 minutes because guess what? You write up a template for the first one and then you copy, edit, send. You can reduce, reuse, recycle. Don't recreate the wheel. If you've done something strong the first time around, adapt it and move on. It doesn't need to be perfect. You're just looking to get it done. Another important function of goals in this podcast I was listening to by Jay was talking about this concept of like plan Bs. And I've heard a lot of music professionals say like, you can't have a plan B, never have a plan B. I think there's value in seeing one of those idealistic outcomes. It's a lot easier for someone who's accomplished it to say that, right? But I also think there is a big difference between a plan B and a goal B. So Jay goes on to talk about planning for failure. And he goes, we as humans need to recognize that you will fall off the path. You can take an hour and create that entire 1-4-3-1 goal process. And there are weeks that you will fall off. You will not accomplish that task that you set out for yourself. Life will get in the way. There could be a snowstorm and now you can't travel to any studios. There will be someone gets sick or someone has a wedding or there's just things that happen or maybe you don't feel good and you need to take a little time off. So I think the first thing is recognizing that We all will fall off the path. We will all fail, quote unquote, in some capacity. But the difference is, can you plan for failure? No matter how much you plan, something's going to go wrong. And if you can know that, and you know that failing happens, you can use that as an ally and not a crutch. Believing that there's no pushback, detour, or contingency, that's just going to set you up for failure. How do we use this to our benefit? That's where the concept of plan B, not goal B, comes into play. The biggest piece, if you take nothing away from this episode besides breaking down your goals into achievable processes and tasks, it's a plan B is for the process, not for the goal. Your goal might be, I want to release an album, but the plan for how you're going to accomplish that may change. The goal doesn't have to change. The recording an album does not have to change, but maybe the plan for how you're going to record your album is going to change. Maybe you find out in your researching methods and you're reaching out to write your songs that I need to push my rights back 3 months. Okay. Now we know. So now that changes your Q2, because your Q2 is going to play your songs out, right? Well, you can't play songs you don't have written. So maybe we need to go back and change the Q1 goal or the timeline or what we wanted to accomplish there. If you can recognize that the plan B is for the process and not the goal, you're already light years ahead of the next person. Because if you are not achieving a goal because of plan A, then just take a different route. Take a different path. It's like using a GPS. There's always 100 ways to get somewhere. If you miss your turn, your GPS isn't like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't go to Kroger today. No, your GPS says, okay, you missed this street, rerouting, make the next left. What did you do? You're still going to get to Kroger. You're still going to go to the grocery store. You just might be taking the longer route, or you have to make a couple extra turns, or you have to make a couple detours. You do not have to change your goal. You can change your journey to reach your goal. And so I think that is one lens when you're listening to some of the feedback we hear back out in the world of like, never have a plan B. It's not that you can't have a plan B. It's that your goal should stay the same, but your methods of accomplishing that goal might change. He uses this example, and I thought it was a great example, of wanting to eat healthier. And he has a plan for when he's home, and all the behaviors he built to be able to successfully do that at home did not translate to traveling. Eating healthy when you're home is different than eating healthy when you're traveling. So it's not that the goal changed. It's just that the plan changed. Maybe there will be a little bit more flexibility in my plan B, which means when I'm out traveling. And that means I'm going to be a little bit more strict or a little bit more clear in my plan A for when I'm home. And that's going to help. So that way it's not so many extremes. They're just slightly tweaked. The goal is still accomplished. The process has changed. And the very last thing that he goes on to say, and I think we touched on it a little bit in last week's episode, but I want to make sure we hammer it home here. And he talks about grace over guilt and how we as humans, we're so hard on ourselves. We are the first people to tear ourselves down. We're the first people to find fault in what we're doing. And it's just like, we are doing our best. Like collectively as a society, I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning saying, I'm going to wake up and do a crap job today. No, you're saying I'm going to wake up and I'm going to try and do my best. And sometimes things happen. So if we can give ourselves grace, it's going to help us enjoy the journey so much more. Do you help someone that you're really frustrated at and that you hate? Or do you want to help someone that you like? So if you like yourself, if you love yourself, you're going to want to go the extra mile to help yourself in a way that if you can't stand yourself, if you're constantly tearing yourself down, if you're constantly finding fault, like who wants to help that person? Jay's podcast On Purpose is amazing. I've listened to a few episodes. It was recommended to me by my sister and she is a big fan of it. She turned me onto the show. I'm also a big fan of it. So make sure to check it out. I think they have great episodes there. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode. I hope you can take some of these methods and apply it to the goals that you're working on. I'd love to hear about what goals you're working on. What are you setting yourself up to accomplish in 2024? And I can't wait to chat with you guys next time. If you're not already following me on Instagram, you can find me at sorude.podcast. That's at sorude period podcast, and connect with me there. All right, guys, have a great rest of your day, and we'll chat soon. Bye.